Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Acts chapter 20. We can read again at verse 32. Acts chapter 20. Or perhaps we can just read verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Especially these words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul the Apostle was a man who led and taught by example. Of course, he instructed his hearers. He says that he was about 3 years in Ephesus, and his teaching was marked by humility and perseverance in the midst of persecution. And he was faithful in declaring all the counsel of God. He warned them, he instructed them, and his own life illustrated his teaching. And when he speaks to his brethren, he commends them to God. He says he has coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. As, of course, it is lawful for ministers to receive support from the congregation. And yet Paul, in his situation, especially among the Gentiles, the people that he came to who had not yet heard of Christ and the gospel, he supported himself. And he did that so that no one would question his motives in preaching the gospel. He was not there for personal gain. He was there to preach the gospel and win souls to Christ. And so he also, as we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9, showed them an example by the fact that he supported himself, working with his hands. But more than his own example, pointing that we should be diligent in our calling in order to support ourselves, the apostle points to a principle that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. And he says that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And interestingly, the words, the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is literally how he himself said. Christ himself said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if you look in the Gospels, you don't see these words recorded that the Lord Jesus spoke. But we know from the Gospel of John that not all the words and deeds of Christ were recorded in the Gospels. And so these words are not just a summary of the teaching of Christ. They are his own words. We believe these are his own words that he himself, as Paul says, spoke. And Paul brings before us this principle that Christ spoke about in many ways in the Beatitudes, for example, in Matthew chapter 5. This blessedness of showing mercy, this blessedness of giving, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, with the Lord's help this evening, we would like to consider just two things, and that is, first of all, the exercise of giving, and secondly, the blessedness of giving. The exercise of giving and the blessedness of giving. The Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the exercise of giving, this first of all. And giving takes us back to self-denial. We all like to receive. Gifts that we receive from others are special. But it is more self-denying to give. Self is saying, what's in it for me? We see others receiving things and we say, oh, well, he or she got more than I did. That's our selfish, fallen human nature. And we all know how this is a temptation for those who have power. And the Bible again and again warns about receiving gifts. Gifts in themselves are not wrong, but they are wrong if they're used to persuade someone to rule in your favor against his own judgment. So that, of course, is bribing those who have authority. But just to illustrate this, the fact that we all like to receive, indeed, it is true that some have to receive. They're in that condition where they're not able to give, but they are on the receiving end of things. But it nevertheless is true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is lawful to receive gifts and thankfulness. We should be thankful for these things, but it is a higher thing to give to others. It is a higher exercise. There are purer intentions. It goes contrary to our selfish nature, our fallen condition. And indeed, giving is a mark of grace if it is done in love. Of course, all that we do is tainted by sin in our fallen condition. But if, as I said, if it's done in love, it is the fruit of the Spirit. This giving disposition, this attitude of giving, desiring to be helpful and giving to others. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And goodness is that readiness and that endeavor to give good things to others. It is the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. That word is telling us about the attitude that desires to help others. Paul refers to it in the way of kindness in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Love desires to be useful and to help others, showing acts of kindness to others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, how do we give? What do we give? It begins again with our attitudes, with our desires. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It begins there in the heart. And so we begin with prayer for those that we desire to give to, compassion, consideration for their needs. It's one thing to pray for them, wish them well, but it's another to actually take the time to consider their needs and actually do something for them. It involves a wise management of our resources. There's not many people who can give nothing at all, as long as they are considerate and managing their things wisely. James cautions us in his letter that he wrote by inspiration, chapter 2, and verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so without the outward actions, the intentions or the best wishes are not worth much. What advantage is it? How does it profit you or anyone else? So if we don't lift a finger to help anyone, then our best wishes are nothing, really. So it has to do with this outward action as well as the attitude. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You remember David, when his kingdom was established, he was brought into a position where he could help others. And so he searches out, especially in this particular instance, any of Saul's family that he may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. So there was Mephibosheth, lame on both his feet, and he was brought to the king's table. And there, again, in the New Testament, there was Barnabas. He was a very kind man and generous. And we read that he was a Levite, I think, and he sold his land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And, of course, that was a time in which the generosity and the love of the church was so prevalent, as such an example. They had all things common. And, of course, God is not requiring every one of us to sell our home and give the money to the church. Of course not. But it's just showing the spirit that we ought to have. And they called the apostles, surnamed Barnabas, the son of consolation. That's what Barnabas means. So he was an encouragement to the church. And how encouraging it is to see the Lord's people giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And again, giving involves self-denial. Self wants to have everything, especially, of course, fallen self, fallen human nature. But Paul was an example of his willingness to forego his own liberties in order to be helpful to others. He says, "While the world standeth, I will not eat meat." And that of course is for the good of the church and to avoid stumbling others who had weak consciences. But again, instead of receiving monetary support from the Gentile churches, he was willing to work with his hands to provide for himself. So he was foregoing even this outward financial support in order to avoid any question of his motives as he went as a missionary to these people who had never heard the gospel and were not familiar with the arrangements of the church. What self-denial he had, and what a willingness he had to be useful, and that he would benefit others and glorify God. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved, seeking the benefit of others. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Well, that's briefly the exercise of giving. But to encourage us in this exercise, we have the blessedness of giving. The exercise of giving, and now the blessedness of giving. The words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Well, we all know that it is rewarding for parents to give to their children. It is, of course, nice for the children when they receive a gift. Their eyes light up. They're excited. But while it is so exciting for the children, it is much more rewarding and satisfying for the parent. The memory or the impressions of excitement will wear off, but that, shall we say, satisfaction on the part of the parent will remain. They are taking care of their children. They are making their children happy, so to speak. So there is it is pleasant to be on the receiving side, and when that is accompanied with thankfulness, that is a good thing. But the real joy is on the part of the giver. And there is a lasting satisfaction in giving. And that's just to illustrate what the Lord Jesus is saying which is much deeper than just a feeling of satisfaction that we've helped someone out. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Are we laying hold of this? We've heard it, and it's said even by others who don't know their Bibles, really, it is better to give than to receive. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we had two alternative circumstances or scenarios before us, and one of the situations would be to receive a nice gift or to give a nice gift, which one would we naturally choose? Just to really think about it and lay it to heart. I can either receive a gift or I can give a gift. Which one shall I choose? Well, it should be no question that the preferable thing is to give the gift if we were able to, if we were in that position. Because Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, not everyone is in a position to give, at least not much. Of course, it is the intention that counts. But some very obviously are in a major way on the receiving side. The poor, Jesus said, you will always have with you. And Paul himself says that we are to support the weak, those who are maybe sick, those who don't have the means, opportunities perhaps, and so they're the weak, and you're to support them, and lay hold. It's a very strong word in the Greek. Lay hold of them, up to support them. But again, those who are strong and able-bodied, they are to actually seek to be in a position in order to be able to give to others. That should be their desire, to be in a position to give. That's what the Bible says. None of us should be content to be on welfare. I trust there is no one here like that. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good. And why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. You're a young man, let's say. You have strength, you have intellect, a mind, you can think, you can do. God has given you the wherewithal to do things. It's time to do things and work with your hands or your mind or both in order to be useful and helpful so that you can give to those who really can't do that, those who really need. So we're to seek those opportunities of being useful and helpful and to give to him that needeth. So those of us who have some such position of ability or means are to be thankful that the Lord has brought us into that position where we can help others. Perhaps we ourselves were once in that position where we were on the receiving side again and again. But now we're brought into circumstances where we can help others, just as the others used to help us. Or again, going back to the fact that the tables may turn, and let us say that we're in a position where we can help others. Let's do so, because we may be in a position later on where we can do nothing, and we're on the receiving side. So there's the point is the opportunities are to be embraced, and the duties are to be performed according to the Word of God and laying hold of the encouraging principle and promise, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give. The blessing. Well, I was just thinking about what blessing is, and I think it is safe to say it is to be brought into a condition of fulfillment. It is to receive the joy of knowing that we are doing the will of Christ. We are made satisfied, being enabled to glorify God and find our happiness in enjoying Him and doing His will. And how the blessing may be illustrated again by saying that it's a mark of grace. We get assurance that we're one of God's people in the exercise of giving. John the Apostle says so, speaking in 1 John chapter 3 about Christ laying down his life, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And he is echoing what James said, "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." What a motive to giving! We gain assurance that we are of the truth, one of God's people. And we get a good conscience, a conscience void of offense. We're not hoarding our things. There's the evidence that we're of a giving disposition. "And great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." In fact, we gain new friends. There's the poor beggar, and you're helping him. He's looking up to you. You've got a friend. And if he's one of God's people, you've got a friend for eternity. And if he dies before you, he's going to be in heaven welcoming you. Make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. That means make friends by means of your money, the things you have, giving to them, and they will be your friends to welcome you into eternal habitations. They will be there to say, "Yes, so-and-so was the one who helped me out so much on earth." And perhaps on the judgment day, the evidence will be brought out. And these poor people, on the receiving end of your goodness, you gave to them, and they will be able to testify that you were one of God's people of a giving disposition. Make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Make friends by means of the money that God has given you. Receiving, they will receive you into everlasting habitations. I'm referring to Luke chapter 16 in this. Well, it is God most of all who will reward you. He sees all your efforts that you make in giving to others. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and we are told in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." You're ministering to them, you're taking care of them, you're providing for them, those who are in special need, especially among God's poor people. And the return surpasses our expectations. We get more than we expected. What comes back to us as a requital, a recompense for what we have done for the Lord's cause. The Lord Jesus says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom." But more than what we receive here on earth, at the resurrection, there will be a great reward. So Jesus says, don't, when you have a feast, don't always, he's not saying never call your friends and loved ones, but don't only call your friends and loved ones to the feast, to the dinner. Invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. They can't recompense you. They can't return the favor. But you will be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And yes, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. It is more blessed to give than to receive, because if we're giving on earth, we receive to all eternity, and we're sitting at the feast in heaven in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is more blessed to give than to receive. so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Well, we're to give to others, and we're to give to the Lord. And we tell our children that when they put their little bit of money in the collection plate, they're giving to the Lord. Yes, it goes to pay to the utilities and the minister's stipend and other things to maintain the property. But we're giving to the Lord. It's for Him, and it's really in token that all that we have is from Him and belongs to Him in the first place. It's all His anyway, and we're giving a little in token that we recognize it's His. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so, in conclusion, the exercise of giving and the blessedness of giving. Who has given the greatest gift? It is God. God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And that being the case, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has given his Son to die for sinners. And that is, in regard to his people, the token, as well as the cause, that he will give them all that they need. If he gave us his Son, will he withhold from us bread? He's given us all in Christ, and he will freely give us all things. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God has given his Son, and he will have all the glory. Are we desiring to glorify him? Are we coming to him, the one who has provided for us that most perfect example? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave his life a ransom for many. And so, we are to come to him that we might be on the receiving end of that unspeakable gift. We are poor and needy beggars, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He poured out his soul unto death, that we might have everlasting life. And Jesus says to sinners, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And are you saying, Lord, evermore give us this bread? Oh, that my mouth would be opened wide to receive the bread of life, that my soul would receive and receive again Christ and him crucified, that I might live. Oh, pray that your mouth would be opened wide. And that's the call to you. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. He will give you the finest of the wheat. Only come to him, hungering after his own Son, the bread of life. He's calling you to come. He's giving you in the gospel this salvation. And when you receive this gift, you'll receive also the gift of the Spirit and a giving disposition, and you will know the truth, illustrated by Paul's life and summarized in this principle, spoken from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And may he bless his word. Let us pray.